All right. Good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, September 3rd at 5:43 p.m. Pacific, 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. We're going to start off by calling the roll, and that will be our secretary, Paul Martin from WBA. Our Paul, if you would.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw. All right. Marcus Jenner.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Bill Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manager Saba. El Salvador. El Salvador, we got some interference on that.
Present.
Okay. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
Okay, let me ask. John Crumshaw, are you here? No response. Manager Saba, are you here? No response. Okay, we have a call.
I thought Summer was on the call.
Summer is on the call. She is. Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of the agenda for this meeting, I don't believe we have any outstanding minutes from the previous meeting as of yet. Is that correct, Paul?
Correct.
Okay, that meeting was on August 27th, FYI, and we will approve the minutes at the next meeting. The only item on the agenda for this meeting is the KPFA budget. It's a special meeting. So, and it's basically a continuation meeting of the initial KPFA budget meeting. So, I do have a couple of notes just about attendance and who's here and who's not here. So let me do that and then, let's do that. So let's, are there any modifications to the agenda? I don't believe we have any opportunity to make any, but if someone would make a motion to approve it.
This is Marcus. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
I have one modification to the agenda. I would like to, at whatever time appropriate, attempt to give a further extension on our budget.
Right.
And
there was some conversation about that.
Pop that in.
Well, okay, let me just procedurally, and I don't want to get too mucked up in Robert's Rules of Order because, procedurally, this is a special meeting.
Uh-huh.
So in order to add something to the agenda, it pretty much has to be unanimous. So does anybody object to discussing the issue of WPFW's second extension request this evening?
Question?
Yes, Arpa.
Would there be a time limit on that agenda item?
Yeah, I think that's fair. What would you like to suggest?
10 minutes?
Okay.
I bet we can do it in 5.
Well, you never know around here, but we'll see. Let's go with 10. Okay, so what I'm going to do is ask if there are any objections to adding a WPFW request for an extension to the agenda of this meeting for a 10-minute period of time. If there are no objections, it's fine. Okay, not hearing any. Are there any objections to the approval of this agenda as amended?
John from the call.
Oh, hi, John. Welcome.
Thank you.
The only person that we're missing is manager. Okay. So the agenda is approved as modified. So we'll pick up immediately with the WPFW extension, which was added. Marcus, do you want to give us a little bit of a proposal for what you're asking for and a little bit of explanation as to why.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our finance committee passed our budget. We had a great meeting. Unfortunately, we were not able to make quorum in a special meeting. So we have scheduled on our regular LSB meeting, which is next Wednesday, the 11th, to our chairman has said that that will be the top of the bill. We should be able to pass the budget on the 11th. And our members are very anxious to participate in this. So I would ask begrudgingly that we be given a extension. I know we're way behind. It's messed up. We would all appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, I will say, as chair, having been roped into an email thread on this, I will reiterate that members of the WPFW LSB are very eager to have input into the budget. That was clear.
Right.
Okay. Any discussion?
Questions?
Yes, I'll talk.
Yeah. All right. So when would we be getting then to the WPFW FY14 budget proposal?
Well, taking a look at the calendar, if their meeting is going to be on September 11th.
11. Right. 11. Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's the Wednesday.
Right.
Then that does introduce some scheduling programs for us because we had hoped to take this subject up on the 10th, which is our next scheduled meeting, and we won't be able to. So what that probably means is that we will need to schedule a meeting as shortly after the 11th as we can, and we should expect the WBAI budget shortly thereafter. So that's what the issue is, and we may move the September 10th meeting unless there's any business that carries over from this one. The when we would move it to is a question because it's a busy calendar. So there are ways in which this is logistically hard.
Sure.
Is there further discussion, or do you guys want to go into the calendaring part? Okay, well, I'm not hearing further discussion. So for now, let's take a look at the calendar. There is a Pacific and National Board meeting on September 12th. There is, of course, the weekend.
Although not on the calendar, KPFA has its LSB meeting on the 14th. I don't know why it's not there.
That's a drag. Probably because I didn't put it there. Okay. That doesn't make me happy about doing this on the weekend. If we go into the following week, and we will, of course, have WBAI's budget as well, we have no meeting scheduled. What we have is KPFK Governance and KPFK Finance on the 16th. Coordinating on the 17th, BAI Finance on the 18th, and Development on the 19th. And we would have to co-schedule probably two meetings, is my guess. So how bad is that? Alternatively, we could use Friday the 13th.
Uh-huh.
I know. I'm just saying that we could. I'm not saying that we should, and it would not make me happy at all.
it would make me very groggy for my radio program some hours after the meeting. The 24th is a regular meeting of the committee here. And
yes.
So either BAI or PFW maybe for that one.
Well, except for the fact that nominally the fiscal year is the 30th.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with Archives National and Consolidated, which obviously we're not going to be able to do all of them. But we should try to at least get through archives and national before the end of the month.
Barbara,
yes,
for a comment?
Well, yes, go ahead.
Somehow I had penciled in that we would have NSC meetings on every Tuesday night this month, potentially. And I see there isn't one on the Pacifica calendar for the 17th, and it would conflict with the coordinating committee, but I would prefer to have one on the 17th rather than the 13th. That's the night before our LSP meeting. We're typically getting ready for it, and I just... that would be too much. I don't know if I could attend.
Okay. I believe the coordinating committee is a little problematic because Richard Uzel is the chair of it, so I don't believe it's an option for him not to attend. Richard, is there any reason to think the coordinating committee wouldn't meet? Okay, well, here's the option. Does anyone have to be at KPFK Governance or KPFK or KPFK Finance? Michael, John? Hello?
Hello, I could forego John. I could forego the Finance of KPFK.
Michael, are you there?
Well, I thought I was muted one the first time. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so KPFK Finance, you know, normally meets at 7:30 Pacific. You know, conceivably we could take the call and then get off at some point and go to that meeting if we're at the station.
Okay. Richard, I assume the coordinating committee needs to meet and you need to chair it. Is that correct? Richard?
Richard on this call?
He was.
Richard, I'm here.
Richard, did you go out for a beer?
All right, let's assume that the coordinating committee needs to meet. He is the chair of it, so it's probably not easy for him not to attend. Paul, do you really have a WBAI Finance Committee meeting on the 18th?
Here we go. This is an irony. This is a real irony, because what happened is, if you look at the notes for the WBAI LSB Finance Committee on the 9th, it's contingent upon the NFC not grabbing that date. However, everybody said, however, we have to have one after that. So they settled on the 18th because people were certain that we wouldn't be grabbing that. Well, let me think here a second. The thing is, we absolutely do need the 9th, as it turns out. The 18th, personally, looking at things now, I would say I would prefer to... I would prefer to give the 18th to the NFC, but I'm sure that there will be people on the local finance committee who will scream and yell about that, and we'll have a few things said about it. I am leaning towards, I would like to say, let the NFC do the, you know, do a meeting on the 18th.
Richard's back.
Let me think about this for a few seconds here. Well, you know what? You know what? We're having an LSB meeting on the 11th, and if the NFC needs to have the 18th in order to be able to pass the budget, I would think that the 18th would not be that important. Because, you know, for the LSB, for the LSB Finance Committee. So I would say that if the NFC really needs to have the 18th, we should go for the 18th. And I'll just tell folks, look, this is how it is. And if they want to scream and yell, people can scream and yell.
Okay. I need to actually note that even though it isn't scheduled, I believe the personnel committee has a meeting on the 16th, and that would make John and I totally unavailable. All right. Last question.
Rebecca, were you asking me a question about the coordinating committee?
Yeah, I was asking if the coordinating committee really had to meet on the 17th, and I assume it does. And you have to be there,
well,
right?
Yes and no. I don't know. You know, I would defer to approving budgets myself, but we would have to ask the committee, I think, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't think you can cancel them without their permission.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that. We've tried that, and people get upset. So next question, development. Is there anybody here who's on the development, the PNB Development Committee?
Is there such a thing?
There is. Okay, that sounds like a no. Well, then it sounds to me, unless we want to get some of that fun weekend activity going, that we might need to do the 18th, the 19th, and then meet on the 24th, but we would be able to cancel the meeting on the 10th if we were to accommodate Marcus's motion. That sounds like how we would have to do it. So take that into account. And let's tentatively say that's what we'll do if this motion passes. Because I can't see what we would do on the 10th unless we're unable to pass a KPFA budget tonight, which is certainly not what we're planning. Okay, is there any further discussion on Marcus's motion? Questions for him or comments?
I call the question.
Are there any objections to Marcus's motion?
Well, hold on. We need, let's see. It's been stated, but, all right, okay, so Marcus is officially making the motion.
Yep, you want me to restate?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm making a motion that the National Finance Committee provides WPFW a extension to our budget deadline. We need an extension until the 12th, basically, because our meeting is on the 11th.
Okay, so the motion is to provide WPFW an extension to the budget deadline to September 12th.
Correct.
Did we agree upon a date for the special finance committee to consider the WPFW budget?
You talking to me, Tony?
No, I'm just talking generally to the committee. Did we agree upon a date that would be good for the finance committee to meet? Or we're just generally voting for the extension?
I believe Tracy said, if it passes, then we choose one of the midnights that we speculated we need to add.
I think we're going to end up adding both, but I don't hear Tracy. Tracy, you're off?
I'm here, yes. Oh, I was okay. Just waiting for a chance to break in. You're all talking animatedly. My sense of it is that what we'll do if we pass this motion is we will cancel the meeting on September 10th, unless there is unfinished business from tonight. And we would instead meet on Wednesday the 18th and Thursday the 19th. And that would be in order for consideration of WPFW and WBAI. And then we would meet again on the 24th, when we would hopefully take up Archives and National. And that would at least get us structurally through the budgets prior to the close of the fiscal year. We probably could not do a consolidated until October, but so be it. And then we would kick all of that through to the PMB, at least before the end of the fiscal year. I'm not anticipating that they will finish the budgets until at least the end of October, but that's kind of on them. Does that answer your question, Tony? Hello? Hello? It seems kind of silent. Is anybody there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Tony? All right. So we have the motion. Our Paul, can you read it?
Okay. Well, I haven't incorporated the other stuff, but I can if we need to. Basically, the motion I have from Marcus is to provide WPFW with an extension to its budget deadline to September 12th. And I guess you're making an amendment. And that will read, as I type with a single finger, let's see. If this motion passes, to cancel the September 10th meeting unless there's unfinished business from tonight, and instead meet on September 18th and September 19th for WPFW and WBAI respectively. Do you want the rest in there about the 24th and all? Or?
I guess.
Okay. And meet on September 24th to do Pacifica Radio Archives and the National Office. And then it just says what would happen, so that wouldn't be a part of an amendment. So let me copy that down to there so that I'll know what the hell I was talking about. All right, so the amendment would be if we pass this motion, word there so I don't stumble again. If we pass this motion, we cancel the September 10th meeting unless there is unfinished business from tonight, and instead meet on September 18th and September 19th for WPFW and WBAI respectively, and meet on September 24th to do Pacifica Radio Archives and the National Office. So that's your amendment.
Okay, looks like that's on the table. Are there any objections? All right, sounds like you got your extension, Marcus, and we've got a bunch more meetings.
Thank you, one and all.
Hooray. And you have to come to all these extra meetings, Marcus. Every last one of them.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, so that brings us to KPFA's budget. I assume at this point everybody has a copy and has taken a look. What we'll do, let's see, this is a continuation meeting, but the budget has changed since we last talked about it, so I think we should probably just kind of start at the beginning, which means that we will hear from the KPFA GM if he's on the call. I don't know if that's the case. Richard, are you on the call?
He's in the vicinity. He'll be right here.
Okay. And then we will go to the LSP treasurer, and then we'll go to the PNB member and let everybody say what they have to say. Then we'll do questions, and then we'll do comments. Okay, we could reverse the order. Barbara, would you like to go first, and then we'll move to Richard? We'll just do it in reverse order.
Sure. So, I don't know whether we want to deal with this latest memo from you, Tracy.
No, I think what we actually want to do is talk about the budget on the whole and what you want us to pay attention to.
Yes.
We'll get to specific questions later.
Okay. So, we sent, in addition to the budget with changes, a kind of a grid that was at the bottom of one of the emails sent early, which compared the final budget columns, the totals, with another column that had changes that were triggered by essentially the budget template. But let me start with the fact that we were researching, trying to quantify the EFT in perpetuity. Those are donations that we get automatically every month or so. In the they show up in our bank account, show up in Memphis, and they are. We figured they were not being identified as part of the difference between the assumptions page, where it showed a certain total for listener support projected for the year, and the listener support as it translated into the budget. And Tracy was not satisfied with the explanations we gave about the differences. So we decided what needed to be pinned down was these EFTs in perpetuity. So the staff, Maria and Chris, our budget manager, our business manager, and our data manager, looked into the records and determined that about $184,000 a year, and that was not exactly the $200,000 we were trying to identify because of Tracy's question. So at that point, Maria and Chris looked into the budget template and dug down in there looking at all the equations, the formulas. And they discovered, that, in fact, these EFT in perpetuity were not being counted through the process in the budget template. And they found another thing that was not being done, which was a reduction for the fulfillment percentage that we usually expect. So we had two things happening in listener support. One was going to up the amount in our budget, adding the EFT in perpetuity, and one was going to reduce it, accounting for the fulfillment rate that hadn't been incorporated. And they more or less washed each other, very close. It produced a reduction of $46,653 in listener support in the budget. Now, you all know that when your listener support reduces, it triggers other reductions. One of them is central services. The other is speculated amounts to be spent on premiums. And there's a formula in the budget template that drives that. It isn't a formula that we put in or even we don't think it really matches our usual expenditure for that. But nonetheless, budget template drives that. So when we had this increase in listener support of $46,653, we had a decrease in expense of $46,090. So that meant that there was a net difference in our small surplus of $563. Now, we had shown a net surplus of $2,963, not very much at all, but the LSB voted to approve the budget because they were convinced that we had been very conservative in estimating the amount of income that we were going to be able to produce. So this brought these changes brought our surplus down to $2,400. Without changing anything in the budget other than the listener support and the development expenses and the central services. So that's the budget that we were talking about last time. Now, I'm almost afraid to bring this up, but I have information that does bring up our surplus by about $20,000. And that is that we got final figures in for a fund drive that ended just prior to our LSB meeting on August 10th. We did not have the exact calculations at the time that we prepared the budget for the LSB to review, and we used the figures from previous year. But in fact, there's over $30,000 more that was raised in that fund drive that ended around the beginning of August, the first week in August. So Maria has now prepared another chart that adds listener support. Actually, when you put this $34,000 into the assumption sheet and then it goes through the budget template, it ends up adding $29,251 to listener support. And I think this would be a good time to just ask if I think we should send out right now this new comparison chart. That it's a simple kind, doesn't have every month. It's like the one we sent last time that added the 46,000 and reduced the 46,000. So how about it, Tracy? Shall we send you that? We have the calculations after the money goes through the budget template. There is then, of course, increase in the expenditure expected for premiums and increase in expected central services. And then that does increase the bottom line so that we end up with $23,693 as a surplus.
Well, if you're asking me, Barbara, I think there are problems with submitting a brand new budget document at this point. I don't mind people looking at kind of comparison figures, but I think it really is up to the committee if they're going to reconsider different numbers again. It's kind of difficult when it's kind of always a moving target. And my preference off the top of my head is that we deal with the budget document that we have. If it needs to be modified, then we'll modify it. And this would be one potential modification. But go ahead and send your documents and people can look at them.
Okay. Maria will send that comparison right now. And actually, I we don't really want to be in this position of changing the budget after certain deadlines, but the fact that we had a fund drive that ended at a point where we could not incorporate the actual pledges we achieved at that time, it's really not our fault. And so, I mean, we just have to, we certainly want to count this money in, and we would be, I guess, changing our budget after the budget is approved. By adding it, we certainly wouldn't ignore it. So it's the time thing is a little difficult because of the fact that the fund drive schedule, doesn't exactly match with the deadlines for submitting final budget. I'll go ahead with... I'll just give a little more summary after saying that the change increases the listener support by $29,251. Then it reduces shared expenses. I mean, it increases shared expenses by $5,704. It increases the development by, where is that? $2,254, and there should be something here for credit cards. Where's that?
It's all under development.
Well, it's right here. Is one. Okay, that did include the credit card fee. Yeah, $2,254 increase in development and $5,704 increase in shared service contribution.
Okay. All right, is the KPSA GM available?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay. With this time, we just basically want to hear anything you think the committee should pay attention to in the budget, anything worth noting, anything you want to draw our attention to.
Not at this time, Betsy.
Okay. So that, I guess, brings it to me. We asked the PMB member of the committee to also weigh in. I have a couple things to say. Paul, would you mind taking over as chair just while I do this?
Okay.
Because it's probably not a good idea to chair and comment at the same time.
Okay, I'll take over chair now.
Thank you. So you can call me.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Okay. I want to draw attention to a couple of things. I'm glad that the listener support number was adjusted to accommodate the EFTs and to put the fulfillment in. That's important. There's still a couple of places where I'm not sure this budget is quite tracked with reality. And I will draw attention to the fact that our Paul sent out financials tentatively through the end of July that do show the station in a deficit scenario with 187,000 negative. 65,000 of that is attributable to the CPB delay, and 120,000 is in fact an operating deficit. So we need to kind of keep that in mind. What we're trying to do is plan not to repeat that in the upcoming year. The areas that I'm particularly concerned about are the premium to listener support ratio, which is kind of ironic since the KPFK budget largely revolved around that. And I'll just reiterate that we talked about the approximately 10-to-1 ratio that we're striving for. And the fact that it sometimes flips to 1-to-8, 1-to-9, 1-to-6, et cetera, but that 1-to-10 is where we would like to be. And I appreciate that KPFA has been successful at the 1-to-10 ratio. If you take a look at Raul's financial, the expenses through the end of July, which is 10 months, with one fund drive to go, are $156,000. So presumably with one more fund drive, you're in the 180 to 190 range, maybe a bit less, let's say 180 for argument's sake, with an August fund drive that raised $400,000, give or take. So while we're looking at a budget draft with higher listener revenue and a number of 116 to 120 is confusing to me. And I would want to hear some explanation of how we're going to achieve an almost 1 to 20 ratio. It doesn't seem to kind of match up. And that may be the fault of the template, but if the template is wrong, we have to make the template cohere with reality as we can recognize it. So that's one issue. Another thing that I'm concerned about is the total lack of a depreciation allowance. Obviously, that adjustment will be made at the end of the year. I think we've made some progress in getting the depreciation total somewhat lower than they have been in previous years, which is great. But a zero allowance with a teensy surplus is basically a recipe for a deficit budget at the end of the year. And this foundation is not in a position where it can aim for a deficit. We have achieved that deficit both in 2012 and 2013, but we don't want to achieve it in 2014. So that's another issue. The third issue is kind of where we're going with accounts payable. I pointed out that there was a fairly large legal payable. And while I understand that it's been accrued for a year and a half now, it hasn't been paid. The 2012 audit showed us with about $250,000 in unpaid accounts payable at the end of the year for KPFA. And obviously a surplus of $2,500 without depreciation does not plan for any way to pay $250,000 in payables. So while I think it's obvious that we're not going to end up with $250,000 surplus, I think we have to kind of consider what the true financial condition is and what we're actually planning to accomplish. Certainly the plan should not be to end up with negative numbers. That's not what we're trying to do. So I'm a little bit concerned about those three things, and I'm going to kind of leave them on the table as stuff for the committee to look at. In terms of readjusting the listener support, again, I mean, one thing to say is that a budget is not an exact replica of the actuals from the previous year. So in general, we don't adjust budgets because of August fund drives that were slightly off. I mean, if we were to do that, we would have made several adjustments to the two budgets that already came through, KPFT and KPFK. While we could look at that small change, I don't think it really changes the mechanics on the budget dramatically. And so we kind of need to deal with the big issues and not get too bogged down in small amounts back and forth. KPFA is, according to Raul's income statement, KPFK's listener support was short of the 2013 budgeted amount regardless. So we are looking at a situation where we have to, you know, deal with the accuracy of that listener support estimate. Although I think it's reasonably okay as is, I'm just concerned about how some of the expenses have been calculated at this point. Is there anything else I want to say? Okay, I'll stop there. There may be a couple more things later on.
Do you want the chair back?
Yeah.
You got it.
You don't want to keep it, huh? Okay, so at this point, we will move to questions and answers. The questions should mostly be informational questions. What's this number mean? What's that number mean? Blah, blah, blah. And then we'll move to sort of comments and temperature taking. So I will take a stack for questions.
Jim?
Okay, anybody after Jim?
Tony.
Tony, okay. All right, let's start with Jim.
I had two questions. One is, I'm just curious why corporate match is so low. Is that something that just doesn't work with your station, or it's not pushed, or there aren't large corporations that employ members? That just seemed extremely low, and I was curious if it has been low for a long time, why there hasn't been an attempt to push that up. And the other thing is I was just curious the salaries are going up. I'm curious what the plans are for hiring to fill that increased salaries.
Okay, so why don't we take answers on those? Who wants to answer?
Well, I don't know about historically for corporate match. Maybe Maria has some better idea. She's been at her job for 5 years. I don't think it's changed a lot. In fact, I think it went up a little lately, but I don't know that for sure. I know we do not, we don't love corporations around here, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And the other question was about salaries. We assess what is needed, and the GM, Richard, made a few suggestions based on his evaluations of what would be good to keep our operation going strong, and we did not incorporate all of those. We did incorporate some, and we incorporated as much as our conservatively speculated income could cover.
Well, there are some new hires?
Potentially, yes. And there's one of them is a program director, which has been actually waiting in the wings to be hired for some time. Another one is a position which has been reduced from full-time to three-quarters. There's been some talk about reducing it to 50%, but the idea of this position was to restore for other employees the time they've all been spending to, as a group, run fund drives. And people have been working extra hours, putting in time beyond their percentage, and some people just need to be able to do their producer jobs more consistently. And so that was the reason for making one position. This was a proposal from Richard. One position that would use our resources better, coordinate some volunteer work and a lot to do with the fund drive. Anyway, those positions have been added, and of course the union raise, the restoration of a very few hours that had been cut before. It's not planned yet exactly which staff members. There's very few hours compared to how many we could restore, but there will be some planning with the GM and the staff about that. And it includes additional hours to be paid in support of our apprenticeship program.
I have some stuff to add on that front. I can wait in the staff. Jim, can you wait a little more for
sure.
us to answer? Okay, because I don't want to cut off the staff. Okay, Tony, you were next.
Just two quick questions. One, how many full-time employees you all have? And what do you have? What does that entail, board expenses?
I didn't hear the second half of your question, Tony.
Board expenses.
Are you talking about LSB board or operating?
It just has 30, the column 30, I think, has board expenses. I assume that's LSB.
Yes, those are LSB expenses.
And what are those? What, how do we?
We pay rent for meeting rooms. That's the main one. And as far as full-time employees, I believe we have 5, but we have many, many part-time employees.
How many?
Okay, I'll wait till you get to me on the stack.
We have 31.8 FTEs. And that's about 40 people, right?
Or more.
More.
So it's 32 FTEs. And it would the proposal would be taking that up, I guess, to 33.5.
No.
Well, right. If you add a program director and add a part-time fund drive coordinator, then it goes up.
Well, Maria is saying that those positions are in the figure we just gave you.
Okay, so it's 31.8 FTE, already adding 1.5.
Yes.
Okay. So it's at 30 right now, Tony.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? Okay, then I will summarize what, as I understood, was explained to the LSB regarding the personnel increase, Jim, which is that it consists of the following pieces and parts. The first of 3 annual 3% raises at approximately $53,000 per year total gross cost. And that would be $53,000 in 2014, and then another $53,000 in 2015, and another $53,000 in 2016 per the contract. And that might go up a little because the health insurance premiums will rise. But just in terms of the 3% raises. It includes the hiring of a full-time program director, and it includes the hiring of a three-quarter-time Fundrive coordinator. I believe it also included about a 10-hour increase in board op hours. I wasn't told if there was any other restoration of hours or other items in there. Okay.
Can I ask another question on that venue?
Yeah, you can.
Wasn't there already a provision made for a program director, an unfilled program director in the last budget?
Maria?
Some of the salary in that was used to hire a temporary assistant to the general manager.
In other words, we created another job that wasn't the PD and used the money for that.
Is that person going to be released?
Most of it.
Yes, it was.
The jury can talk about that in open session.
That person will be released.
That person's position is will be released.
Guys, this is open session. Please don't do that.
The only other thing I have is on this corporate match, the KPFT, we look at it as free money. I mean, you can hate corporations all you want, but if you got somebody working for Koch Brothers out there, we feel it's real good that Koch Brothers have to pay us when one of their employees donates to us. And that's free money, and if a corporation is waving $500 match in your face, we grab for it. We don't care who it's coming from, because it ultimately is coming from the listener member. And I would think that in the Bay Area, that you have some major corporations that will be forced to give money to your station because some of their employees are donating to you. And we found just by informing our members that their employers could be forced to donate to us was a very easy way of increasing our listener support. Now, I would hope that just because it's corporations, almost all of the money coming into your station eventually comes from a corporation through employee salary. So I hope you look at that as a source of future income. That's all I have.
May I comment?
Sure.
Forgive me for making a joke about not liking corporations. I believe that we do not concentrate on that. And I agree with you, Jim. It is free money. I don't know how it's advertised among members, and perhaps that's something that could be done. A lot of good ideas that people have for raising money, we have to ultimately ask, who's going to do it? And I guess no one has been assigned that task yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, Michael.
Well, it was 2 years ago, I think, when I first joined the LSB and KPFK, I had a motion which I thought went to the PNB to change that line to employer match as opposed to corporate match, but I don't think it ever happened, so people might want to consider that anyway.
Yeah, I agree. It should be changed. That's what it actually means.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because there are also nonprofit employers that match.
And they're corporations.
Yeah, but it's an employer match. That's the reason they're matching it because they're an employer.
Richard reminds me that we do make announcements about this.
Okay.
I have another question.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, you had a note that LA did not participate in the KPFA's fiscal year 2013 summer drive, and I'm wondering sort of how that whole thing works. My understanding was that this is a problem with the overlaps, that a lot of the fund drive program is switched so that Ms. Jesuris does a separate show for KPFK when KPFA is in fund drive, and that we cut away to do our own local pitching on the news now. So I'm wondering if that 6% figure for KPFK still is accurate out of your listening support going forward.
That particular fund drive, there was no overlap. Frequently there is. This was one when there was none.
Okay. So you think that going forward there's still a need to have a discount from your...
The staff really has worked this out. It isn't as problematic as it was one time. And I don't know where you came in on the information, but whatever problems existed about this overlapping have been solved.